Welcome to the Toxicology Audio Tutorial Series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss an introduction to toxicology. By completing this tutorial, you will learn about an introduction to toxicology terminology, characteristics of exposure and effect, interactions with toxicants, and dose response. As a review, toxicology is the study of how toxicants interact with the body and involves the study of three primary areas: the basic principles and mechanisms of action of toxicants, the interactions of toxicants on cellular and organ system levels, and the study of specific toxicants and real-world applications of toxicology. Today's lecture concerns the basic principles of toxicology with an introduction to the study of toxicology. So let's start with an overview of this toxicology course, including a few tips for studying each topic. This toxicology course consists of 24 tutorials that begins with an overview of the principles of toxicology, which are a prerequisite for understanding how toxicants act on the cellular, molecular, and organ levels. We will then bring this information together to discuss how specific toxicants cause multiple effects on the molecular, cellular, and organ system levels, as well as discussing how these principles are applied to different fields of toxicology, such as environmental toxicology and pharmaceutical development. For each tutorial, there is an accompanying cheat sheet, which provides an overview of the tutorial's most important material, and a problem sheet with review questions for each topic. Each problem sheet is a group of 10 questions with answers and solutions. The questions come directly from the tutorial. For the toxicology tutorial, there are a few tips that will help you learn along the way. First, actively watch and listen to the tutorial, taking notes and pausing where necessary to think about the material. Next, memorize basic information to save time later, and be sure to review basic concepts of biology where necessary. Finally, learn vocabulary quickly for understanding in-depth topics later on in the series. If necessary, make flashcards to help learn new words. One of the most useful tips is to keep up with the material in class. Nothing makes it harder to study for an exam than when you are still learning the material. To help you study along the way, look for patterns and try to connect information to topics learned in earlier tutorials, as each tutorial builds off earlier tutorials. Finally, don't be afraid to ask for help early. Tutors, teaching assistants, and friends who have already learned the material can be great resources as you move forward with your learning. Mnemonics are a great way to memorize lists. Here is a simple 3-step process to do so. Step 1. List the key words in a logical order. Step 2. Write down the first letter of each key word. Step 3. Create an easy-to-remember word, phrase, or sentence from the first letters of these key words. For example, to remember the symptoms of organophosphate poisoning, you can use the mnemonic DUDE SLOP, which stands for diarrhea, urination, decreased consciousness, emesis, salivation, lacrimation, ocular meiosis, and paralysis. That's it. If you ever get stuck in hard-to-remember terms, try to create a mnemonic. If you'd like to learn more about toxicology beyond this tutorial series, a few commonly used resources include the textbook Cassaret and Duhl's Toxicology, which is widely considered to be the classic textbook for learning about toxicology. Also, the textbook The Medical Toxicology Review is a great resource for studying for the medical toxicology board exams. And finally, there is a group of websites, including those for the EPA, FDA, Society of Toxicology, and ToxNet, which can provide valuable information. Now, let's get started with a brief review of the history of toxicology. Toxicology dates back to the earliest humans, who used animal venoms and plant extracts for hunting and warfare. By 1500 BC, written recordings, such as the Ebers Papyrus, indicated that hemlock, opium, arrow poisons, and certain metals, such as lead, copper, and antimony, were used to poison enemies, or were used for state executions and assassinations. With time, poisons became widely used and with great sophistication. Notable poisoning victims include Socrates, Cleopatra, and Claudius. By the time of the Renaissance and the Age of Enlightenment, certain concepts fundamental to toxicology began to take shape. Noteworthy in this regard were the studies of Paracelsus, who lived around 1500 AD, and Orphla, around 1800 AD. Paracelsus, who lived from 1493 to 1541, was a physician alchemist who formulated many revolutionary views that remain an integral part of the science of toxicology. Paracelsus determined that specific chemicals were actually responsible for the toxicity of a plant or animal poison. He also documented that the body's response to those chemicals depended on the dose received. His studies revealed that small doses of a substance might be harmless or even beneficial, whereas larger doses could be toxic. This is now known as the dose-response relationship, a major concept of toxicology. Paracelsus is often quoted for his statement, "All substances are poisons, there is none which is not a poison. The right dose differentiates a poison from a remedy." Orphla was a Spanish physician who was the first to publish a comprehensive work devoted expressly to the toxicity of natural agents. He also demonstrated effects of poisons on specific organs by analyzing autopsy materials for poisons and their associated tissue damage. Orphla was the first toxicologist to use autopsy material and chemical analysis as legal proof of poisoning, and his work survives today as the basis of modern forensic toxicology. The 20th century is marked by an advanced level of understanding of toxicology. DNA and various biochemicals that maintain body functions were discovered. Our level of knowledge of toxic effects on organs and cells is now being revealed at the molecular level. It is recognized that virtually all toxic effects are caused by changes in specific cellular molecules and biochemicals. Xenobiotic is the general term that is used for a foreign substance taken into the body. It is derived from the Greek term xeno, spelled X-E-N-O, which means foreigner. Xenobiotics may produce beneficial effects, or they may be toxic. As Paracelsus proposed centuries ago, the dose differentiates whether a substance will cause toxicity. A xenobiotic in small amounts may be non-toxic and may even be beneficial, as is seen with pharmaceuticals. But when the dose is increased, toxic and lethal effects may result. Now that we've reviewed the history of toxicology, let's move into the study of the science of toxicology by starting with an introduction to toxicology terminology. We begin with a question: what is toxicology? Toxicology is the study of the adverse effects of chemicals on living organisms. Toxicologists are trained to examine the nature of those adverse effects and determine the probability of their occurrence. Toxicologists can be classified by the area of toxicology they study, although it is common for toxicologists to study more than one area as they search for answers to why toxicants behave in certain ways. Mechanistic toxicologists study the cellular, biochemical, and molecular mechanisms by which chemicals exert toxic effects on living organisms. Descriptive toxicologists are more concerned with toxicity testing, which provides information for safety evaluations. Regulatory toxicologists focus on determining whether or not a chemical poses a safety risk, often based on data provided by mechanistic and descriptive toxicologists. Within toxicology itself, there are several different types of toxicology. First, there is forensic toxicology, which combines analytical chemistry and basic toxicology to study specific poisoning events in humans. Environmental toxicology, on the other hand, studies the effects of chemicals in the environment on living organisms. Developmental toxicology focuses on the effects of chemicals on the developing organism while still dependent on the mother, either in utero or during early development. Finally, reproductive toxicology studies adverse effects of chemicals on the male or female reproductive system itself. Let us now define the terms poisons, toxins, and toxicants. These terms are often used interchangeably, yet within the field of toxicology, they each have a specific meaning. A poison is defined as any agent capable of causing harm in a biological system. The term toxin typically refers to toxic substances produced by biological systems such as plants, animals, fungi, and bacteria. Finally, the word toxicant describes toxic substances produced as a result of human activities, which are commonly referred to as anthropogenic. In summary, toxicologists can be either mechanistic, descriptive, or regulatory in their focus. The types of toxicology that these toxicologists can specialize in include forensic, environmental, developmental, and reproductive toxicology. When studying toxicology, toxicologists may focus on poisons, toxins, or toxicants. Next, we will discuss the characteristics of exposure to and effects of toxicants. For a chemical to have a toxic effect, it must first reach the site of action where it exerts toxicity. Toxicity is heavily influenced by the route, concentration, and duration of exposure. The primary routes of exposure to toxicants are the gastrointestinal tract, lungs, skin, and other non-GI related routes. The greatest effects are typically seen when the toxicant is introduced into the bloodstream, which rapidly distributes the agent throughout the body. Another important factor in exposure is how long the exposure takes place, or its duration. Exposure is typically divided into four time frames: acute, chronic, subchronic, and subacute. Acute exposure is defined as exposure for less than 24 hours. Chronic exposure is repeated exposure for more than 3 months. Subchronic exposure is intermediate between acute and chronic exposure, with an exposure lasting 1 to 3 months. Finally, subacute is exposure for 1 month or less. The interplay between the route and duration of exposure has a direct impact on the adverse effects of toxicants. Toxicologists generally divide adverse effects into categories based on the severity of the effect. Side effects are generally described as being adverse, deleterious, or toxic as they increase with severity. One type of adverse effect is the allergic reaction. Allergic responses to chemicals are mediated by the immune system as a result of prior sensitization to that chemical or to a structurally similar chemical. Allergic responses can manifest in a variety of ways, from a localized minor skin rash to a systemic response, leading to anaphylactic shock that may be fatal. Another adverse effect is the idiosyncratic response, which is defined as a genetically determined abnormal adverse response to a chemical. Idiosyncrasy may be an extreme version of the response seen at high levels of exposure in normal responders, or it may be an insensitivity to even the highest doses of exposure compared to the majority of the population. The timing of a toxic reaction can vary depending on the frequency and severity of the exposure. Responses are generally categorized as immediate or delayed. Immediate responses develop quickly after exposure to a toxicant, while a delayed response may take days, weeks, or even years for the toxicity to become evident. In this section, we have discussed how both the route and duration of exposure significantly impact the severity of the toxic response. When talking about toxic responses, they can be categorized as reversible or irreversible. Quite often, the difference between reversible and irreversible depends not just on the severity of the exposure, but also on the regenerative capacity of the affected tissue. Some organs, such as liver and skin, have significant repair capacity following damage. Others, such as the nervous system, have limited regenerative capacity, and thus damage tends to be irreversible. It should be noted, however, that even organs with regenerative capacity can be irreversibly damaged following serious chemical injury. Toxic effects can also be distinguished by the localization of the response. Local effects take place at the site of exposure, where the chemical comes in contact with the organism. In contrast, Systemic effects require absorption into the body and distribution to the site of action. Finally, it is important to note that there may be significant differences in the response to a toxicant that varies between species, as well as between individuals of the same species. Animal models, such as rodents and primates, are often used to replicate exposure to a chemical in the laboratory setting. However, different species will often respond differently to the same chemical as a result of differing gene expression patterns between the species. Thus, it is important to understand the mechanism underlying toxicity to understand the different responses between species and extrapolate data to human exposure. Similarly, humans may respond differently as a result of genetic polymorphisms, which underlie the previously discussed idiosyncratic responses to toxicants. To summarize this section, toxicity is affected by a number of factors, including the route and site of exposure, the duration of exposure, and the timing, severity, and locality of the reaction. In the next section, we will discuss interactions with toxicants. In the previous section, we discussed the ways chemicals interact with an organism. In this section, we will discuss how the response to a chemical may be increased or decreased depending on the mode of action at the target site. There are three basic types of actions. The first is additive, in which the effect of two or more chemicals is equal to the sum of the action of each individual chemical alone. If you think about this numerically, additive is like adding 2 plus 2 and getting an answer of 4. The second is synergistic, in which the combined effects of two chemicals are greater than the sum of the effects of each individual chemical alone. If you think about this as a mathematical equation, adding 2 plus 2 has the synergistic effect of giving you an answer of 7, which is greater than the amounts of each individual part. The third is potentiation, which occurs when a chemical is itself not toxic alone, but it contributes to the toxicity of another chemical, making that chemical much more toxic. If you think about this one as a mathematical equation, the chemical that is not toxic has a value of 0, and the toxic chemical has a value of 2. But when you add them together, you get an overall toxicity of 5 due to potentiation. Chemicals also can work against each other in a process called antagonism. There are 4 types of antagonism. The first is functional antagonism, where two chemicals work against each other by producing opposing effects in the same system. The second is chemical antagonism, where two chemicals interact with each other to produce a less toxic combination. The third antagonism is dispositional antagonism, in which the biological actions of a chemical reduce its toxicity. And finally, there is receptor antagonism, which occurs when one chemical blocks the action of another at its receptor. Chemicals can also work to decrease responsiveness to that chemical, a phenomenon called tolerance. Tolerance occurs when there has been a prior exposure to a chemically or a structurally related compound. Tolerance is caused by either a reduction in the amount of toxicant reaching the site of action, or by reduced responsiveness of a tissue to the chemical of interest. To summarize this section, we have discussed the types of interactions that take place with toxicants. These include effects that are additive, in which the effect of two or more chemicals is equal to the sum of the action of each individual chemical alone. The second is synergistic, in which the combined effects of two chemicals are greater than the sum of the effects of each individual chemical alone. The third is potentiation, which occurs when a chemical is not itself toxic alone, but it contributes to the toxicity of another chemical, making that chemical much more toxic. Fourth is antagonism, in which chemicals work against each other in a physiological system. And finally, there is tolerance, which is decreased responsiveness to a chemical. To wrap up this tutorial, we will discuss the characteristics of one of the basic principles of both pharmacology and toxicology, which is the dose response. We begin with the question, what is dose response? Dose response describes the relationship between exposure to a chemical and the magnitude of the response. The dose, which is the amount of toxicant to which an organism is exposed, typically determines the response in a consistent, predictable manner that can be measured. There are essentially two types of dose-response relationships. The first is the individual dose-response, which describes the response of an individual organism to a specific chemical. Such responses are called graded because the response is measured over a range of doses from low to high. The second type is the quantile dose response, which describes the distribution of responses to different doses in a population of exposed organisms. The dose response curve is typically a sigmoid curve with a wide enough range to cover both low doses, at which there is no observable response, the threshold level, at which a response is first evident, and the plateau at the top of the curve, which indicates the dose at which the maximum effect of the channel is evident. It is important to note that a single chemical may have different dose response curves depending on the system being measured. For example, a chemical may have effects on both the liver and the brain, but if the brain is more sensitive than the liver, then the dose response curve will show effects at lower doses in the brain than in the liver. The ability to draw a dose response curve to a chemical rests on three basic assumptions. First, there is an assumption that there is a direct cause-effect relationship between the dose of the chemical and the observed response. Second, there is an assumption that the magnitude of the response is directly related to the dose. This means there is an assumption that there is a single target site at which the chemical initiates the response, which links together the administered dose and the observed response. And third, there is an assumption that the response can be measured in a quantifiable manner that is accurate and repeatable. Dose response curves can be used to determine a number of important characteristics of how a chemical causes an effect in a biological system. As shown in a quantile dose response curve, the point at which the curve leaves zero to indicate an effect will occur at that dose is called the effective dose, or ED. The toxic dose, or TD, is the dose at which the toxic effect under investigation, such as liver injury or nephrotoxicity, becomes evident. Also, the lethal dose, or LD, is the dose at which the exposure becomes lethal. By placing two curves side by side on the same graph, one can compare the doses at which effects are seen by two different toxicants. However, it needs to be noted that this does not necessarily mean the drugs have the same mechanism of action. The dose response curve also demonstrates the concept of the therapeutic index, or TI. The therapeutic index is defined as the ratio of the dose required to produce a toxic effect divided by the dose needed to elicit the desired therapeutic response. Obviously, this only applies in cases where a therapeutic agent, such as a pharmaceutical, has both therapeutic benefit and toxic effect, depending on the dose. Dose response curves are also useful for calculating the margin of safety for a chemical. The margin of safety is the distance between the estimated dose to which a population is exposed and the no observed adverse effect level, abbreviated as NOAEL, as determined in experimental animals. The margin of safety is calculated by dividing the dose that is lethal in 1% of the population, or the LD1, by the effective dose in 99% of the population, or the ED99. Finally, dose response curves allow the determination of two very important parameters, potency and efficacy. Potency and efficacy allow for the direct comparison of the toxic effects of two or more different chemicals. Potency refers to the range of doses over which a chemical produces increasing responses. Efficacy, in turn, refers to the capacity of a drug or toxicant to cause a specific functional response. Although the terms potency and efficacy are often used interchangeably, they actually have very different definitions. In summary, in this section we learned that dose response refers to the relationship between exposure to a chemical and the magnitude of the response. The therapeutic index is the dose required to produce a toxic effect divided by the dose required to produce the therapeutic effect. The margin of safety is calculated as the LD1 divided by the ED99. Potency is the range of doses over which a chemical produces increasing responses. And finally, efficacy, which is the capacity of a drug or toxicant to cause a specific functional response. To summarize this tutorial, toxicology is the study of adverse effects of chemicals on living organisms. Toxicologists study the effects of poisons, toxins, or toxicants. Toxicity is affected by a number of factors, including the route and site of exposure, the duration of exposure, and the timing, severity, and locality of the reaction. Interactions with chemicals may cause responses that are additive, synergistic, potentiative, antagonistic, or tolerant. The dose response curve provides information that permits comparison of different toxicants using criteria such as potency and efficacy. And finally, comparison of different dose response curves provides information on the therapeutic index and margin of safety of a chemical. Congratulations! You have completed another toxicology tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, please visit www.rapidlearningcenter.com. www.toxicologyinstitute.com. Thank you.